Isn't she lovely? Amen. Amen. Inside and out. Amen. I love you. There's a problem in America. Which road do you want me to go down? There's a problem in America that's called theft and robbery. Robbery is different than being a theft. A robber uses a gun. He's bold. He goes right up, holds a gun on you, and says, "Give me your money." But a thief is different. A thief works silently, just moving around, manipulating, getting what he wants. I don't know about you, I don't like being ripped off. Do you? You know, that's why we have alarms in our houses. That's why we have cameras. That's why many of us have guns. That's why we have locks on our doors and locks on our windows. Why? Because we don't want to get ripped off. We don't want a thief coming in and stealing what we've worked for. We don't want a thief coming in to steal what somebody in the family has given us. We don't want that. And that's going on in America. But did you know there's a greater theft taking place right here in this church this morning? Right here. Take your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I want us to read a few verses. You know the scripture just as well as I do. You can stand with me. John chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 9. "I am the door," Jesus says. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The thief, you see that? That's Satan. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I want to call your attention to the thief. The thief, which is Satan. The Bible says that Satan has come to steal and kill and destroy. But the Bible says that Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Thievery or stealing in America is a problem. I mean, wherever you go, people are breaking in and breaking storefront glasses and just rushing in and stealing whatever they want. But listen to me, you can be seated. There's something being stolen from you this morning. You see, Satan has come to steal. The thief has come to steal. The major theft today is spiritual. You see, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says that God has given us three things. The Bible says that God has given us time. The Bible says that God has given us talents. The Bible says that God has declared unto you, given unto you treasures. Now, you have time, you have talents, and you have treasures. But see, God gave us those, but we don't own those. We don't own those. What we do, we manage those for Him. God has given you time, He's given you talents, and He's given you treasures. But see, you don't own them. You're to be a steward of them. You're to manage them. Right here in this church this morning, there's something that is being stolen from you. Many in this church this morning, you've come to church, but you have no joy. It's been stolen. Maybe you've come to church this morning, you don't have any peace. It's been stolen. Maybe you're in a bad relationship or in arguments, and there is no peace because it's been stolen. The harmony in your home. Maybe you don't have any harmony or peace in your home. You know why? Because it's been stolen. Stolen joy, stolen peace, stolen relationship, stolen harmony of the home. You may not even know this morning your divine calling in life because it's been stolen from you. Your health could be stolen from you. Even your identity. Many people in America today, they don't know whether they're male or female. You know why? Because their identity has been stolen by the thief. So many people in America, their entire life has been stolen. You know why? Because I talk to people all the time that tell me, Brother Roger, it'd be better if I were dead. Well, that's not true. There's nothing truthful about that. But in that, Satan, the thief, has stolen their life. You may be here this morning and your joy that you once had, it's gone because the thief has stolen. Maybe the peace that you had at one time in your life is gone because the enemy, the thief, has stolen it. Maybe the harmony that's in your home is gone that wants to be there, that once was there, is gone because it's been stolen. You see, the thief has come to steal from you. And he does his job well. But I've come here, the Lord has sent me here this morning to tell you how to get it back. Amen. If you've lost your joy, your peace, harmony, your identity, whatever you've lost, I can tell you how to get it back. Hey, amen. Many people have lost their song. You used to have a song. Did you know every one of us, we have a song? You may not know it, but you hum it. I guarantee you, you think about it, you'll go around and you'll be humming. You'll be whistling. You may not know what you're whistling, but you're whistling. Many people, they've lost the joy of singing, brother. Why? Because the thief will steal from you. Even though you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, praise God, Satan will steal from you. Many this morning in churches throughout America, they've lost it. They've lost their joy and their peace, I'm telling you, because Satan has stolen it from them. But I want to show you how to get it back. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, I want to walk you through verses 1 through 20 because David had something very precious stolen from him. It broke his heart. It wasn't only stolen from David, it was stolen from the men, his soldiers, and something very precious to him was gone. Have you found your text? You don't have to stand because I want to walk you through these 20 verses. If you're here today and you've lost your joy, your peace, harmony in your home, you've even lost the purpose of your life, your divine calling, I want to tell you how to get it back. I want you to see 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. I want you to see what's stolen. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten or destroyed Ziklag and burned it with fire. In verse 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. In verse 3, and so David and his men came to the city, back to Ziklag. And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Look at verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Listen to me. Have you ever cried so much? Have you ever wept so much that you just run out of tears? These men, because of this theft, they come back home expecting their wives and their children to be there, and they find their city is burned to the ground and everything was gone. These are grown men that are weeping. Grown men that are crying so much that they run out of tears. The theft took place, fellas, look up here, guys. The theft took place when the men were away. Listen to me. Fellas, you're to be the spiritual leader of your house. I can't say that enough. There's a lot of thievery going on in the American home, in the American family, because dad is not there. Because dad is not involved in the spiritual training of their children. This happened when the men were away. But let me show you something. What does David do? Look at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Distressed, that means he was depressed. He was hurt. He was angry. But David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now watch this. Because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Did you get that? David lost everything too. But they were threatening David. They said, we're going to stone you. And David had lost everything. that he had. What does that tell us? That tells us when you allow the devil to steal from you, you're going to blame somebody else. Hey, listen to me. The devil has stolen your peace. The devil has stolen your joy. The devil has stolen the harmony out of your home, and you blame somebody else when it's your fault. But I'm going to show you what David did. Look what David did in verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He didn't go down and get a pint of Jack Daniels. He didn't go down to the drug dealer and get a reefer. He didn't go down and say, you know, it's their fault. You know what he did? When everything was gone and he was distressed, he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Well, to understand that, you've got to understand the book of Psalms. David, who wrote much of the book of Psalm, knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. And listen to me, you better learn it too. If you don't learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord, have you lost something? Has something been taken from you? Has a thief broke through and stole from you your joy, your family, your peace, your job, your health? Wouldn't you like it back? Would you like to get it back? Would you like to have some real peace in your life? Well, you must do what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In Psalm 42, he said, Oh, my soul. And God gave him a new reason to praise the Lord. In Psalm 34, he said, I exalt the Lord. I cried, and the Lord heard me. In Psalms 23, he says, God restores my soul. In Psalms 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In Psalm 73, he said, I almost gave up on God. I almost gave up. You may be here this morning, you say, Brother Roger, I'm about to give up. Listen, don't you give up on God. Hey, when it looks like everything and everybody has given up on you, God hasn't. Don't you give up on God. He's still working, even though you can't see it. But I want to call your attention. You got to get this, because this is powerful. It talks about the ephod. You may have never heard that word. Look at verse 7, what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. An ephod is something, a garment that the priest would wear. It was sleeveless. It was like a gown. But on the breast of the ephod, there were stones that represent the glory of God. Now you got to get this. Two of those stones are called Urim and Thurim. those two stones. I don't know how they did it, but that's the way they got direction from God. David said, I need to know something. Something has been stolen from me. I don't know where they went. I don't know where to go. And Lord, I need help. And he calls the priests, gets the ephod and gets the stones. And that's the way back then, during the Old Testament times, that's the way they got direction from God. That's the way that they prayed and asked the Lord to give them direction. But look at verse 8. I want you to get this. David's got the ephod. In verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? You see this? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now he's talking to the Lord using these two stones some way. And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them without fall, recover all. Now that's a good word for. He inquired of God. He got the ephod. He some way used the stones, Urim and Thurim, and he got an answer. He says, God, my family's been stolen from me. I'm in distress. I need to know something, God. And David got the ephod. And the Lord answered him, David, you go. David, go. Go. But I want you to look at verse 9. So David went, hen 600 men, and they were with him, and came to the brook Bezar for those that were left behind. And David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezar. But look at verse 11. Don't miss this. This is awesome right here. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. Now watch this. And they gave him a piece of cake, a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, or he revived, for he had eaten the bread. He hadn't eaten bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Oh, folks, listen. Watch how God works in this. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man, and of Egypt, a servant. I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of Cherith, and upon the coast which belongeth unto Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziglag with fire. And David said to him, can you bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Are you getting this? Oh, inquired of the Lord, Lord, I've got a problem. My family's gone. My children. The city's been burned. I don't know where they are. Lord, can you help me? He gets the ephod. He prays. And the Lord says, go. He goes. On the way, there's an Egyptian who's hungry, who's thirsty, who's dying. And David, with his compassion, doesn't pass him by. He goes over to help him and feeds him. That man was the answer to David's prayer. When you help somebody, they could be the answer to your prayer. That is so powerful. You see how God works? Some of you hadn't smiled since I got up here. You know why? Because you've let the cares of this life choke the Word of God out of you. There's no joy. There's no peace. There ought to be shouting in the house of the Lord because God worked in such a wonderful, wonderful way. He used that Egyptian. You think that was an accident? You think that was luck? No, that was divine direction. That was answer to prayer. That was divine guidance that Egyptian was there. You see, I want to show you something. Look at verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of Judah. Now listen to me. You know what's happening there? The thief, the enemy, is having a party with your stuff. The thief is having a party with your joy, with your peace. He's just having a ball. The Bible says that they were spread out while you sat without joy and without peace. The enemy, the thief, is having a party, I'm telling you, with what he has stolen from you. This is amazing. Verse 17, David slaughters them all. In verse 18, look at it. And David covered all that the Amalekites, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David, look at this. David recovered all. Maybe you've lost your enjoyment in the house of God. Maybe you've lost your peace. Maybe you've lost your commitment. Maybe you've lost your song or your compassion. Do you want it back? Wouldn't you like to really have it back this time? You can recover it all if you want it. If you want it bad enough. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, "Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church." Is that verse up there? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Listen unto this. "Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." The Bible says in Romans 8, 37, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Colossians chapter 2, 15, the Bible says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." In what? The cross. The cross. Now listen to me. Listen to me. There's three Hebrew words when it comes to the Bible. The first word is graphe. Now you got to get this. You'll go out there. You'll go out of here not knowing anything about this sermon. The first Hebrew word that tells us about the Bible is the word graphe. That is the written word. The recorded word of God. And then there's the word logos. Now you, everybody here probably, one way or the other, you have a Bible. That is the recorded word of God. But there's another Hebrew word that's called logos. Logos. Now logos is the content. Logos is the meaning. Logos is the interpretation. That's your preacher's job. Logos. Your pastor is to teach and preach the word of God. But there's another word, it's called rhema or rhema. That means when the Holy Spirit, listen to me, you've got the written word of God. You've got a preacher that believes the Bible. I give you the content. I tell you about what's going on. But if you don't get the rhema is when the Holy Spirit of God takes it off of those pages and puts it in your heart. You know what we need? You know what you need today is an ephod. You got one? He's called the Holy Spirit. You don't wear two stones. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. The Bible says when you got saved, God anointed you. But if you don't understand the written word, the recorded word, if you don't understand, the preacher is to give you the context and the content and to teach you what God is saying. But it's up to you to get the ephod. I can't do that for you. I can't do it. I can't get it off those pages in your heart. You need your own ephod. That's the problem. I'm telling you, in Baptist churches, They know nothing about the Bible. Now, don't take that personally. People get mad at me all the time. I was down to church Wednesday night. I can't hardly look at people anymore. Because last week, I had somebody get mad at me because I looked at them. Got mad at me. They don't know that I'm half blind. I told the church, I have a complex. I do. And it's looking at the wall. Why? Because all my ministry, I've had people so immature get mad at me because I was preaching to them because I was looking at them. Debbie tells me all the time, Roger, quit looking at that wall. I say, baby, I ain't looking at the wall. I'm looking at that little light switch. Did you know Isaiah had the same problem? He couldn't look people in the eyes. Jonathan Edwards, the best, most powerful preacher that this world has ever known, couldn't look people in the eyes. You know why? He just couldn't. He had the complex. He couldn't look them. But I look at him, but I'll tell you what he did. He read his sermon, every word, with his head down. And God moved. Souls came running to the altar. We're so caught up in how a man preaches. It doesn't matter what he says. To most people, it's just how he does it. It's not how he does it. It's what he's saying. And it comes from God. I'm telling you, somebody here today, the thief has come in, stole your joy, stole your peace, your harmony in your family, your compassion, your love, your commitment. The thief has robbed you. But you can get it back. David went to the Lord, brother. Listen to me. Wake up. We're going home. It's early. Have you ever heard the fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk? There's all kinds of versions of that thing. All kinds. Did you know Jack and the Beanstalk is all about Jack getting back what had been stolen from him? That his father, who was a knight, had a castle and it was stolen. But you know the story? How in that little English cottage where they had no food. The garden had dried up. They had nothing to eat. And Jack's mama said, Jack, I want you to take the cow. I want you to take the cow. I want you to sell the cow to the butcher and bring back the meat so we can have food. Jack says, okay, mama. Jack gets the cow. I can see him almost in my mind as he leads the cow down to the butcher. But on the way, he doesn't get to the butcher. He meets an old man. And the old man has three beans. He says, where are you headed? Oh, I'm going to sell the cow to the butcher. Don't do that. I've got three beans. And old Jack says, three beans? He said, yeah, but they're magical. They're magical beans. And you know the story. Jack takes the beans. The old man takes the cow. Jack goes home, goes in, walks in the door of that cottage and says, Mama, this is what I got, three beans. Three beans for the cow? Yes. Yes. You know what has happened at that time? Jack had been ripped off. Go to bed, Jack. Jack goes to bed, but he throws the three beans out the window. The next morning he gets up and there is a beanstalk. Jack looks out and he goes and starts to climb. Beanstalk. He climbs through the clouds, up higher and higher and higher, and all of a sudden he meets the fairy godmother. And there's the castle. She says, "Jack, this is your castle." "My castle? That can't be my castle." "Oh, yes. Jack, your dad was a knight. And that was his castle. And the giants killed him and took the castle." And Jack's excited. He goes into the castle and he hides in the closet. And he begins to watch what's going on. Here comes a hen that lays golden egg. Jack sees that hen lay that golden egg and he said, "That's my hen. My father bequeathed that to me. That's my hen." "That's my eggs." And all of a sudden here comes a golden harp. Beautiful sound. Jack says, "That's my harp. My father gave me that. That's my castle. Everything in that castle is mine. My father gave it to me. That's mine." And all of a sudden, we find that the giant goes to sleep. He goes to sleep. Jack says, "Uh-oh, it's my time. I'm going to get out of here." He grabs the hen, grabs the egg, the basket, and the golden harp, and he heads out. But before he gets out, the hen makes a noise, and the giant wakes up. And that's when he says, "Fee, fi, fo, fum. Whether he be alive or whether he be dead, I will use my teeth and grind him up into my bread." Well, you know the story how that Jack takes off down the beanstalk, going back home, got his stuff that his father gave him. He's got his stuff. He's heading down. He gets to the bottom. He takes an axe. He chops the beanstalk down. It falls on the giant, praise God, the thief. Breaks his neck. The enemy is defeated. Listen to me. The old devil will steal from you. He'll steal from you. I'm looking at people today. You've lost your joy. You've lost your divine purpose in life. But I want to tell you, you can get it back. Then you can say, "Fee, fi, fo, fum." Though I be dead or I be alive, I'm covered by the blood of God's only Son. You can say that. And then you can say, "Jesus Christ is your eternal bread."
Amen.
That's biblical. Part of it. You get what I'm saying? The devil will rob you. You're saved on your way to heaven, but you have nothing. You feel dead inside because the thief has stole your joy from you. stole your commitment, stole your working for the Lord. He stole it away from you. Satan did. But if you follow this like David did, you can get it back. Now, I know some people may be here today, you don't even care. You don't care. I know that. I can't make you care. I can only do so much. But if you're here today and you've lost your joy, and people have to beg you to church, and people, and you're filled with excuses all the time, and it's getting worse. You see, he's a thief. He's not a robber. A robber will rob you openly, but he's a thief, and a little bit at a time. And then you find yourself distressed. You say, Brother Roger, I'm going to be honest with God today. Amen. I've lost my joy. I've lost my peace. I've lost the harmony in our family. I've lost it. Why don't you come? Right here. Get on your knees. Get it back. Get it back. Go to the Lord. That's all you got to do. Your Father in heaven has given you time to live. Don't let the devil steal that. You may know how much money you got, but I guarantee you don't know how much time you got. I guarantee that. He's given you talents for the Lord. Don't let the devil steal that. He's given you treasure. Don't let the devil steal that. Why don't you stand with me? I don't know what you need today. Your preacher loves you, but I can only do so much. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take that rhema. Take the word off of its pages. Put it in your heart. I can't do that. Can't do it. I can encourage you to get the written word. I encourage you to come and let me preach to you. Let me teach you what the Bible says. The Logos. I can do that. God's called me to do that. But when it comes down to it, you've got to get the rhema. The application. When the Holy Spirit takes the word of God out of this book, off of these pages, it places it in your heart. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. What do you need today? What are we singing, Sarah?